Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. This is the reading of God's word. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. O Father, grant us an ear to hear your word so that we may hear the loving voice of our God telling us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, what he has accomplished for us. As we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. As we hear your word, as our faith grows, let us live not by sight, but by faith, witnessing the reality of our eternal salvation that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Bless us, and we pray that by your grace, that your word will be preached correctly and your word will be understood by your people. Not only understood, but believed and obeyed to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We come back to Philippians. I was sick for a while, still not 100%, but was able to go back. We are looking at the salutation of Paul's letter, and we are at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, these are the senders, but ultimately God is the sender. Bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. From this salutation of Paul to the Philippian church, we are learning about who we are in Christ, and we've been doing that last three times. We are learning about who we are because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. We are learning about our eternal reality in Jesus Christ. First of all, it teaches us that we are the bondservants of Christ Jesus, which means we do his will. We obey him and we serve him. And it teaches us that we are in Christ. We are united to Jesus Christ. We are living in this world, but we are also in him. In Christ Jesus, and who are in Philippi. Today, let us continue to learn about who we are in Jesus Christ from this verse. Our verse tells us that we are the saints. Paul oftentimes calls the recipients of his letters by this, the saints. Yes, we saw this many times in the past because the same salutation practically comes out in every Paul's letters. It will be reviewed, but we'll learn something deeper today. A few more things about being the saints of God. Now, God calls saints, all the members of Philippian church, not just special people in that church are called saints, but every believers are called saints. Literally, it means the holy ones. Now, the first thing that we must remember is that only God is truly holy. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 2, there is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. So God is holy. Now, what is the meaning of this word, holy? A popular meaning is the moral or ethical excellence. But there is another biblical meaning. It means, when it refers to God, holy other. There is nothing else to compare with. It stands absolutely alone. So God's name to Moses is I am that I am. When the word is used to refer a thing or a man or a woman, it means to be chosen and set apart unto God. And whenever a thing or a man or woman is set apart, it or she or he is set apart for a purpose, and that purpose is always, what? For the glory of God. That's what it means to be holy, that you are set apart for the glory of God. Set apart to be used for the glory of God. Set apart to be used for God's work. Thus, God's people are a holy people. They have been chosen and set apart from sin and set apart from this world to be used for the glory of God. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 6, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 2, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. There are so many people, but Israelites are chosen by God, set apart to become a holy people in the Old Testament. This is what it means to be holy. What it means to be saints. Exodus 19 verse 5 through 6, now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. Psalm 147 verse 20, he has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his ordinances, they have not known them, praise the Lord. See, the holy people of the Old Testament, God has dealt with them in a very new way. He did not deal with any other people in the same way. They have been set apart from all other people in the world for a completely different purpose. They are to become God's possession. Thus, they cannot live like the others. Thus, in the Old Testament, God's holy people, as they are chosen, they are given the law because they are no longer to live just like any other people. Numbers 15 verse 40, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. They are chosen and set apart so that they may enter into the covenantal relationship with God. When we read the Old Testament, there are many things that are holy to God. Sometimes locations are holy. So holy land, holy mountain, holy temple, holy tabernacle. And some peoples are holy. Priests, Levites, the firstborn, the prophets, these are holy. And there are certain things that were holy in the Old Testament, the priestly garments, a sacrifice, the sacrificial instruments, all the furnitures in the temple. And even time. Certain times are holy. The year of the Jubilee, Sabbath day was holy. But in all these things, it means the same thing. That they are set apart. If it is time, then those holy times are set apart from all the other times so that it may use for the glory of God. That's why it's holy. And in the Old Testament, how are these things become holy typologically? Well, through sacrifice, the blood is sprinkled on them, and they are anointed with oil, so now they are holy. So they are to be used only in God's work. And these holy things and people are not to be used for a common use or secular use, thus to make them profane, defiled. So if you use holy in a secular way, then it is no longer holy, it's defiled, it's profane. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10, and so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and clean. So whatever it is holy, it is holy for a purpose, and it is for the glory of God. And you cannot use holy things in a secular way. For example, the Lord's Day is a holy day. Today is a holy day. Today is set apart from any other days. And we cannot and must not use this day for a common use, a secular use. You profane it. And don't you think that it's just a trivial thing? You're profaning holy things of God. Don't think it's just nothing to profane this Lord's Day. It's a serious matter. Yeah, more and more so-called Christians, they don't really care. Because it's a holy day, not holy hour. So some people think that they just come for church for 1 hour, then it's done. No, it's a holy day, 24 hours, not just holy hour. Don't profane it. We must make a distinction between the holy and the profane. We must use it according to the will of God. And we are the saints. We are the holy ones. We are the holy people of God. We have been set apart from sin and set apart from this world, from all the other people. We are God's possession, and we must be used for God and for His glory. You give me signs, and then I quickly do according to what I see. You go, ooh, cold, then it's off. Okay. John chapter 15, verse 19. If you were of the world, God says, the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. You have to understand, as a holy people, you have been chosen and set apart from this world. Even from the very beginning, even before the foundation of the universe, you have been chosen. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Jesus' dying on the cross, he did that for what? So that he might rescue us from this present evil age. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, may it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Do you understand that when Jesus dies on that cross for you, that you have died with him, which means you and the world, you have been crucified to the world and world is crucified to you. That you have no longer relationship, any relationship with the world. Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 13, for he rescued us, Jesus rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Thus, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 through 6, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you understand, brothers and sisters in Christ, that you are holy people? You have been chosen out and set apart. Thus, we cannot live like the others who belong to this sinful world. We're set apart for a different purpose. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Thus, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. We cannot follow the ways of the world. John chapter 3, verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. See, people who belong to this world, they will speak according to this world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5, they are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. But we are not of the world anymore. It's not about what you do that is at focus here. It's about who you are. And if you're not a Christian, then obviously God is not saying these things to you. Because if you're not a Christian, then you are not like this. But if you are, then you are a holy person. You are set apart. And God gives you the law, the new way of living, and set your minds above, not on earthly things. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 through 19, "For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." But brothers and sisters, you have been saved out of that. We are the holy people of God. We are the saints. God calls you saints. But remember, we are the saints in Christ Jesus. Because only Jesus Christ is truly holy. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, "The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God.'" Acts chapter 4, verse 27, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you have appointed." Jesus Christ has no sin, and he does not belong to this world. John chapter 17, verse 16, Jesus says to his Father, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And now we too, in this holy Christ, the holy, we are also holy ones of God, the saints. In the Old Testament, how did things or people became holy? I told you already. In the Old Testament, through sacrifice, the blood was sprinkled on them and they are anointed with oil. We too became holy by the perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. His blood washed us, and the Holy Spirit, which oil was pointing to, the Holy Spirit came to us. We are anointed with the Holy Spirit. The same way that the Old Testament typologically showed us. Blood and oil. And blood of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, we have become holy. But no longer typologically, but truly we are now holy people of God in Jesus Christ. This is our present spiritual heavenly reality. Brothers and sisters, you have become holy in Christ. Separate, set apart from this world. You know, when God in the Old Testament set Israelites apart from other worlds, so he brings out Israelites out of Egypt. And Egypt is a symbol of the world, so he brings his people out of the world, and he's delivering these people into the Holy Land. Now they have become holy people of God, and you know what they did in the way to the Holy Land? These people wanted to go back to Egypt. They don't understand what God has done for them. And so many so-called Christians are like that these days. They have been set apart from the world, but they want to go back to the world. This cannot be. When you read those kind of stories in the Old Testament, you say, well, what is that? How come these people are so stupid? But how about you? Do you want to go back to the world? God has brought you out. You cannot go back. You don't want to go back. We are now holy. But see, being holy people, it brings so much joy. You know why? Because God is holy, meaning that He is holy and He is unapproachable. Because He is consuming fire. No sinners can approach God. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 13, it is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy, and He shall be your fear, and He shall be your dread. Thus in the Old Testament, how hard was for God's people to approach God? In the Old Testament, the holiness of God is clearly manifested. It shows how holy God is and how unapproachable He is for sinners like us. So, in the Old Testament, only once a year, just once a year, and only one person, high priest, once a year, one person come into the Holy of Holies to meet our holy God. But look at what has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, you and I have become holy, and all of us boldly approach God. We enter the true heavenly Holy of Holies together without fear. And that's what this worship is all about. Do you know where we have come as we worship our God? Only the holy things can enter. Only the holy things can stand. Unless you are holy, you cannot meet holy God. But the good news, the gospel, is this. That through Christ, you are now holy. He calls you saints. Holy people of God. And how did that happen? Well, we didn't do anything. We believed. We believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And we believe that He has lived that holy, righteous life for us. That it is through Christ and only through Christ that we are saved. Because everything that we do is tainted with sin. When it comes to salvation, whatever that you do is actually hindrance. You have to trust in Christ. But once you are saved, once you realize that you have become a holy person, now you have to live by faith. You cannot deny what you are. To do so is to deny what Christ has done. Revelation 21 verse 2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. The heavenly Jerusalem is a holy city. And there will be a time when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back in that glorious place. Only the holy things remain. All of the worldly things, anything of this world, and all of sin, all of worldly people cease to exist in that holy city of God. Holy people of God, only the saints will be with the holy God forever and ever in that glorious place, and this worship is foretaste of it. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. You becoming more holy and holy, that is the will of God for you. But spiritually, you are already holy, perfectly holy in Christ. First Peter chapter 1, verse 16, you shall be holy for I am holy. This is our already accomplished spiritual reality. And think about it. When Paul writes this letter, and he's thinking about these people in church in Philippi, and as he writes it, he calls them saints. If you truly understand what that means, can you picture how joyful Paul was to call these people saints? As I am so joyous to see you as saints in Christ. This letter is written for you, and in it, God calls you saints, His holy people. So, when it comes to Christianity, it's always the two layers, if you will. I don't know if two layers is a good example, but one layer, one reality is that you are already perfectly accomplished. That you are truly, truly holy in Christ. But there's another aspect. You are becoming more and more holy. So we use the phrase already and not yet. Already you are perfectly holy, but not yet. But you are still becoming more and more holy. Both are true of you and of me. So in Christ, we are already holy. But also in Christ, we're becoming more and more holy. But as you become more and more holy, do you understand how your life has to be if you are truly holy? We don't follow the patterns of the world. The world doesn't tell us how we are to live. And we're not seeking their approvals. Why would we go out and seek approval of this world? Exactly, see? I like that. I said something that is ridiculous, and she laughs back then. So cute. Holy people of God, let us live that holy life, that set-apart life that God has already accomplished for us. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. When He comes, when Jesus comes back, to be glorified in His saints on that day. Because of you, He will be glorified. You saints, on that day. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have set us apart, chosen us and set us apart from this world and sin. You have made us holy nation, holy people belonging to God. Oh Father, let us live the holy life that you called us to live. Let us not follow the patterns of this world, but let us follow your will. Your will that you have clearly revealed to us in the Bible. Let us live for your glory. No matter how all the other people will distance themselves to you further and further. No matter how much this world hates you and disobey you. Let us, your holy people, be faithful to you. Let us live that obedient life in Jesus Christ. Bless us. Bless your people. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.